1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This past week has been a busy one in the qualifying competition for next year's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Ivory Coast. Since March 24th, six teams, including defending champion Senegal, have officially booked their tickets to Africa's premier football tournament. In Group F of Africa Cup of Nations qualifying, Uganda kept its Nations Cup hopes alive with a 1-0 road win against Tanzania. Joining us now from Kampala with more details is Magume Davis Rakawinj. Sporty Thursday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Thursday greetings to Tusane and our listeners. Striker Rogers Matoo scored the lone goal of the match in the added minutes of the game to restore the chances for the Ghana Cranes qualification for the AFCON 2023. The Kampala City Council Authority player says he's delighted scoring such a crucial goal.
I'm very happy. I can't express my happiness, but deep inside me, I'm emotionally happy. Yeah, actually, I can tell you, I was pushing a colleague called Isma Muguruza because he was the one starting. I pushed him and I told him, Isma, today you are the one winning us the game. And I prayed for him and I prayed for myself and I prayed for him very, very much. And I was like, Isma, you go and win for us. But eventually, God had my prayers and he passed them through me. Alhamdulillah.
Uganda came in this game with only 1 point in three games, while hosts Tanzania had 4 points. Uganda coach Mirutinus Rodovic Micho praised his players for a good display, especially in the second half.
It was very hard. We have risked, but on the end we got everything. I have given a diligent service to Ugandan football. 10 years of my life I have given to Ugandan football brand players. And players have a bit even played for me. I believe the tactical changes that we have made on the end exactly worked with Mia and Mukwala coming. With Bayo Mutyaba, 17, 18 years old boy, coming inside. And I'm very happy that one boy that practically first time started to play for national team, Matoo Rogers, that is production of our champ team, has scored the goal. Mia has assisted like many times before. We have believed, and on the end, we got paid with winning 3 points.
In another Group F match, Baghdadi Bonaja's first half goal and Algeria 3 points away against Niger to make it a maximum 12 points in four games and earn a place at 2023 finals. Nasiri Nchimbi, the sports analyst, and the Tanzania Taifa Stars atheist.
We Tanzanians are very disappointed knowing that the president of the United Republic of Tanzania, President Samia Suluhu Hassan, bought over 700 tickets for fans to go for free to watch the match and support their national team. But we are unable to win this match. You can see how disappointed we are as a nation. Free tickets, but yet we can't win our match.
He says after four games in Group F, bottom placed Niger with only 1 point in the group shouldn't be written off.
Uganda and Tanzania find themselves on a very difficult time right now because they have to play Algeria and Niger at the same time. Niger, they understand that winning versus one of the nations, Uganda or Tanzania, and drawing versus one of either Uganda or Tanzania, collecting 4 points for them, it would be very nice because they are sure they can match Tanzania and Ugandans, and they can be able to qualify. But you can't write off Uganda.
The qualifiers resume in June. A total 24 teams will play at the finals. Hosts Ivory Coast, Algeria, Burkina Faso, and Tunisia have already qualified. Others are Morocco, South Africa, and defending champion Senegal. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho Sredovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Pro basketball, 10 NBA games Wednesday night in Indianapolis, Indiana. Guard Jrue Holiday scored a career-high 51 points, and teammate Giannis Antetokounmpo added 38 points, 17 rebounds, and 12 assists to lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a 149-136 win against the Indiana Pacers. Holiday credits his teammates with his big scoring night.
I feel like my teammates are so good that they have to kind of stay out with them, and it kind of gives me a chance to ISO actually one-on-one. So it's a little bit easier playing one-on-one rather than one-on-two. So, just being comfortable, just getting those positions and making the play.
It was an NBA-leading 55th win of the season for Jrue Holiday and the Bucks, who are fighting for the top overall seed in the NBA playoffs.
We needed a win, and when we need a win, we know how Giannis gets. He's going to just go crazy, and you start off doing that. I felt like I just took the opportunities that came to me and was knocking them in and just being aggressive. So, again, just for us, it's a big game because we're going to get closer to that number one seed, and knowing that this game we need, we went for it.
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers won their 50th game of the season. We'll hear from Embiid now in this report by the AP's Michael Luongo in Philadelphia.
Joel Embiid fielded an 11-2 fourth quarter rally to lead the 76ers to a 116-108 win over the Mavericks. Dallas led 103-100 when Embiid hit a three-point basket to tie the game at 100. He followed with a jumper that gave Philadelphia the lead for good. Embiid hit a game-high 25 points for the Sixers, who snapped the three-game losing streak.
Obviously, we didn't start the game the way we should have. We should have started it, but we got back in it. They got up big in that first half, and then, like I said, it started on a defensive end. Once we got stopped, we were able to just attack. Got to the free throw line, moved the ball, and that was a good comeback.
Tyrese Maxey added 22. Luka Doncic had 24 for the Mavericks. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. Check out voaafrica.com. The NBA, the National Basketball Association, and FIBA, the International Basketball Federation, are partnering to support the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL. The BAL will resume its 2023 season on April 26th when Nile Conference games tip off in Cairo, Egypt. During our recent Nothing But Net with Muckbill and Sonny podcast, I discussed the Nile Conference with Muckbill Yabaro and Action Jackson Vunganyi. And Muckbill began things by running down the Nile Conference teams.
All right, so we have Al Ahli Sports Club that are from Egypt. They are the home team, so we'll see if they can, you know, utilize that home court advantage. We then have Petro de Luanda, you know, the vets from
basketball powerhouse.
Angola, they are
former powerhouse.
Still a powerhouse, you know.
Maybe the favorite.
Honestly speaking, after their first two seasons, if teams haven't, you know, studied film on them
out, exactly.
It's going to be very interesting. Then we have ESLAC, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club, coming back, making a comeback after not being in season two. We have the Cape Town Tigers.
Yes.
You know, so
featuring
Zaire Wade. You know, be very...
I love his first name.
Yeah, right. You know,
it works out so well. We will be very interested to see.
Of course, they are wed the son to NBA legend,
Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see if D Wade pulls up for the conference.
I have no doubt
with Gabriella.
With Gabriella Wilson,
Gabrielle Union. We will see. And then last but not least, the City Oilers from Uganda.
Yes.
You know, newcomers, but definitely if they take anything from the Sahara Conference, it is just because you're a new team doesn't mean you can't finish
don't
a top
cut
team.
Me out. Don't That's cut them point. Out.
So
Absolutely.
Definitely they're going to come out with that energy. No one's really seen them play as much. You know, not too much film out there, so we will be interested to see. Who do you both feel like are the favorites for this conference?
Well, I did hear some comments from Liz Mills of ABC Fighters after their final placing in the Sahara Conference, and they finished as the fourth team in that table. And she said as a result, in the next round in Kigali, or the playoffs, I should say, they got to go up against the number one seed. And she mentioned Petro, that they might have to go up against Petro de Luanda in their opening game in Kigali, which I don't think I'd want to go up against Petro right off the bat.
Petro, the most interesting thing about that team is that they have played together for so long, right? They have that team chemistry. Chemistry is one of those things that it's very difficult to build within a few weeks of training camp, right? It seems as if sometimes when you look at these players, they literally know where the other player is going before he gets there. The ball is there. This man just does a little V cut. He's there. It's a dunk. It's quick. You know, so, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how Petro performs and if they're able to, you know, finish the top of the table. If they are, this might be the year that they get it. Mm. But let's not count out Al Ahli, who is a dominant powerhouse in Egypt.
Absolutely.
That were able to
beat
also
Zamalek.
Beat Zamalek yeah. out
Good
for
point.
The season, right? To be the representatives from Egypt. So
they might actually be, correct me if I'm wrong, the oldest sports club in Africa.
I mean,
I know they... Al Ahli competes
soccer,
in
yes.
multiple sports.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Not just soccer, yeah. basketball.
Just
I think handball
yeah,
also.
Yeah, club sports across the board, I believe. Yeah, they are top one, top two.
I would say Cape Town Tigers are the dark horse in this one after being humiliated really last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, they did. They got beat badly yeah. by Monastir yeah. in the quarterfinals.
They have
the quarter
a chip
finals.
On their shoulder yeah. now oh, yeah. this time around. Yeah. They have this new addition in Zaire.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what kind of impact is going to have on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But what other changes Cape Town Tigers has made to their roster,
right.
to you know, new coach,
right.
new energy,
yeah.
new attitude.
Right.
They're here to win it. So I would really like look out for them.
No, for sure. We spoke to Captain Peter Prinsloo, who's going to be the returning captain. He's a baller, man, and he definitely understands what he needs to do in order to get the team going. So he was, yeah, I spoke to him, and he was letting me know that the team is very, very much on the conquest, man.
They're ready.
They're trying to take it, you know, obviously one game at a time, not looking too far in the future, but at the same time, they're really coming out here to play. So,
but I think it really makes a difference. You're bringing in a young player like Zaire Wade, mm-hmm. that he gels with the team, that he has enough time to, you know, meet his teammates and figure out which way they're going to cut on plays and so he can get him the ball.
For sure. The thing I like about Zaire's game, though, is that he's a facilitator first type of guard. So those type of guards usually, because he's bringing the ball up majority of the time, it's not like he's looking for the ball himself. He has the ball in his hands and he can do what he wants with it, getting everybody involved and then having moments where he can kind of, you know, get to work as well. So I think from that perspective, it'll be a lot easier than maybe if he were playing a different position, maybe shooting guard or a small forward, where he has to rely on somebody else getting him touches. And every time he gets the ball, maybe he's looking to create for himself. So I think if they put him at the point, I think it'll work for them.
Action Jackson Vunganyi. What about those City Oilers?
The City Oilers from Kampala, Uganda.
Could they be a surprise team?
Listen, I would not count them out. I think they also are coming in this to win it. Uganda has a great legacy of basketball.
Okay.
Last 30 years now, I grew up in the city. I saw basketball, you know, come up. There used to be like one basketball court in the whole city, which was at the YMCA. It had potholes in it. But over the years, the infrastructure has improved. More young kids are playing. And City Oilers has great management.
Okay.
I spoke to people who have told me, listen, this team could as well win all of it, actually. Not just the... So watch out for the City Oilers. There's a lot of confidence from people who have watched them play.
I'll give him a chance. I mean, just based on what Stade Malien and ABC Fighters
have done, as
debutante teams.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think the league really has improved competitively. This most recent conference is proof of that. Five teams with the same record, 3-2. It shows you that it's going to be a fight, I think, in Cairo.
No, I think so as well. I think... what we've seen from the Sahara Conference and just seasons previous, every year the Basketball Africa League continues
gets
to
better.
Improve.
Gets better.
You know, from every single perspective, you see the players to the teams, the team cohesion, chemistry, coaching, fan support. You know, I love the fact that they split it up into the conferences as well.
Which, I like that.
You know, even this year seemed like the schedule was like further apart, so there were very few games where they were doing the back-to-backs. Majority of the games had spacing. You know, I really like what's going on. So now conference is going to be very exciting. I think, honestly, it's anyone's game, as we've seen in this first conference. For me, it's a clean slate.
And that's what I love about this. This is what I love about this, is that you don't know who's going to win. Anybody, even the dark horse teams have a chance to beat the bigger teams. And if we have learned anything again from the Sahara Conference, mm-hmm. it's anybody's game.
Right.
And that shows improvement in the league.
Yeah.
It shows that the teams are putting in work. Mm-hmm. They're learning lessons from, you know, past games,
right.
whether it's the coaching, whether it's the player styles, kind of, bolster. The only issue that I still have is, you know, building team chemistry mm-hmm. is tough when you're just bringing in new players.
Yeah, yeah.
Time
shorter
you're going
time.
To play at this type of platform. So
right. No,
maybe some consistency over the year.
One quick point about SLAC, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club. I do remember them from the inaugural season. Yeah. They were a rugged team.
Yeah.
They're very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if they've improved and what they've learned from that debut season.
Absolutely. When you were already in a season and then you didn't make it back in, you definitely have another chip on your shoulder. So you want to make the best impression to make sure that you get to a further round, so you're able to make sure that you continually sustain and stay in it.
Absolutely.
But to me, the most interesting thing about this league is the fact that you only have to play teams one time. So it doesn't mean that it has to be the better team that's going to win. It's the better team that night.
That night.
There you go.
Absolutely.
So all you got to do is just come in, play one game against
these. Put your best foot forward.
Every single game.
Leave it on the court.
One time, leave it on the court.
Yeah.
You can come out undefeated.
Yeah. I agree.
Wishful thinking.
That's a great strategy. That's a great strategy.
Sign me up for coach.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, Muckfield. I mean, do you think any team can run the table in Cairo?
Ooh. Honestly, I can't call it. There's too many teams that haven't really seen outside of Petro, and that thing might happen where Petro, you know, we've seen how they play, so they might not necessarily be able to, you know, just get away with it, yeah, as they have in previous seasons.
That's Mukbil Yabaro. Mukbil and another VOA colleague, Jackson Vunganyi, join me for our special Nothing But Net with Mukbil and Sonny podcast covering the Basketball Africa League. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America has been commemorating Women's History Month with a series of reports on influential women in Africa and around the world. South Sudan-born Sarah Chan made history as the first woman to scout for an NBA team in Africa. Sarah joined me and my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, for a special Basketball Africa League podcast. I asked Sarah how the league has evolved after recently tipping off its third season.
The Basketball African League has progressively improved over the years. The team has, they have settled in more. The strength of the BAL rosters exponentially shot up. Clubs are now more sophisticatedly choosing how to scout their import players, and they're more strategic with picking the imports that fill in their specific needs, as opposed to season one, when teams were just signing the best players they could find. Then secondly, the league did a great job of hosting a combine in Paris, France, for aspiring BAL players ahead of the 2023 Basketball African League season. And this falls within the second half of the NBA season and trade deadlines. And then also you could see the strength of the league through import players such as Jerome Randle, the U.S. Monastir point guard, who is very accomplished in many leagues and around the world, including Australia, and he was very, very successful. So such players, considering the Basketball African League, as a viable option, this just goes to show the strength of the Basketball African League so far, and it's only going to get better.
Sarah, with the BAL's gender equity initiatives and, you know, having the female referees and the scouts such as yourself, and this being Women's History Month, you've made history as right. being the first NBA female scout to Africa. How do you feel about mm-hmm. that, and what do you feel like is the next steps maybe for the NBA as it pertains to initiatives like that?
I think let me just point out the ones that they've already had, like Ball for Her initiative, mm-hmm. Which I think is such an incredible and inspiring atmosphere where women come together and the dialogues and just, you know, the women being celebrated is huge in itself. And then if we just talk about from reporting to head coaches to medical staff, scouts to team ownership such as Cape Town Tigers, to young girls that around the league that they usually bring during games for mentorship and all of that, and just the largest scope of NBA through the Basketball Without Borders and the girls programs. I think they're doing an incredible job with the gender equity initiatives, and I think it's only going to expand more. I am so impressed with what they're doing on the continent, and this is exactly what we need.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Sarah, kind of a two-part question for you. What's it like to work for Masai Ujiri, and can you comment on the impact he's had on basketball development in Africa?
Man, that's big brother. Masai. Oh, man, what to say, where to start? Masai is an exemplary leader, really. He's one of, I tell people all the time, one of the toughest people that there is on me since the beginning of my journey and career. But he is an amazing leader, very hands-on. He's focused on the Toronto Raptors being the best team in the NBA, and his passion for the continent supersedes him. really. Engaging with him on a primary level, I know Africa drives him. He's an incredible father to his kids, an amazing husband and his wife, but just one of the best people you can ever work for, because he will hold you accountable, but he will also push you up to make it happen. And he's always about, you know, uplifting. It's not about us. It's about uplifting the next person. And you can see through the Giants of Africa organization with the programs that we do across the continent. But just, you know, through the Giants of Africa's Build Within initiative, he committed to building 100 courts. And as of January this year, we stand at 26 courts across our beautiful continent, from Senegal to Kenya, to Nigeria, to Tanzania, to Rwanda, Burkina Faso, and Somalia and South Sudan, just to name a few. But Somalia and South Sudan are so near and dear to my heart because, well, South Sudan is home, but Somalia is similar to home, right? And some of these places people might shy away from going into because there's always the safety factor. But Masai wants to go to every corner of the continent to create access to play, and he is very vocal on the subject of gender equity. Building a court in Samburu Girls, building a court in Mogadishu at the Elman Peace Foundation, to visiting refugee camps from Dadaab to Kakuma, you know, to have a front row seat to these places, and to see his heart for the continent, to see his service to humankind, and also just watch him with the Raptors is incredible. But he's first and foremost a good human being, and he's an exemplary leader.
No, absolutely.
It is an honor to work with such a person.
No, I hear you. I feel like you could talk about Masai forever, literally.
Forever.
Like he's,
yeah,
you know,
I think so.
He's definitely one of those leaders. No, that's amazing. And going back to your point, yeah, I feel like for me as a Somali American as well, you know, Somalia is near and dear to my heart. You know, Elwad Elman is a good friend of mine as well. So I saw that initiative that Giants of Africa did with Elman Peace as well. It's amazing to see. Just to segue on that, how has the scouting game changed in your mind, you know, ever since you became the managing scout for the Toronto Raptors in Africa?
I'll go back to Masai and his vision for the continent. Mm-hmm. And with the Raptors, we already had scouts on the continent from Senegal to Cameroon to South Sudan and Nigeria way beforehand. I'd say a couple of years back. And so when I started working and working closely with Patrick Engelbert, the director of global scouting for the Toronto Raptors, at that time, it was only one or two other scouts on the continent. And to see how far it has come now, when you go to Basketball Without Borders, and it's about about 20 teams from the league represented there, and then you come to the first season and it's 20 to almost 30 of the teams that have scouts on the ground. It goes to show you just, you know, what this league represents, but also that the scouting game has changed and there is a movement, which, you know, NBA teams are starting to see being on the ground and having a boot on the ground is a competitive advantage to their teams.
That's Sarah Chan, who made history as the first woman to scout for an NBA team in Africa. And Sarah spoke with me and my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, via WhatsApp from Nairobi, Kenya.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
And that wraps up the March 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.